member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 31st of July, Anno Domini 2010, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, you heard that right. It's Rob Linton.
I forgot how to do this. I'm looking at the buttons going, eeny, meeny.
See, didn't I tell you that yesterday?
Yeah, you did. You did. It's good to be back, though.
It is great to have you back.
Oh, well, thank you.
So far. we'll see. We'll see how that goes as we go along. But Dave is apparently overslept. He's, he's probably going to oversleep for the entire week. But yeah, he'll be here next week. We assume. We never know. He could be off on an adventure somewhere exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen. All right, we're going to start with an excellent news item. Unlike our usual, which is never quite that good. Microsoft chief executive on Thursday sought to address some common questions raised by analysts, but his answers may not have been exactly what they were looking for. While Microsoft reported its highest ever quarterly revenue last week, the company was also criticized for lacking a well-developed strategy for Slate PCs and for continuing to struggle with some of its consumer businesses. CEO Steve Ballmer spoke about those and other topics Thursday during Microsoft's annual financial analyst meeting at the company's headquarters in Redmond. He broached the subject of Slates by noticing that Windows had been available on Slates and tablets for years. While that's true, Apple, which has only just entered the market, has generated significant buzz in sales with its iPad. Apple has done an interesting job of putting together a product, Ballmer said before admitting that they've certainly sold more than I'd like them to sell. For us, the job... I should find a...
You sound like Nixon when you do that.
That's the point.
It's
Richard. I can't do Darth Vader. So
I am not a crook.
I do Ballmer, I can't do Vader. So I'm doing Richard Nixon.
You got to try Walter Cronkite.
I really. For us, the job is the same.
I think people seem to forget that you did theater back in the day.
I did 20 years. I was a professional actor.
And people sometimes showed up.
Everyone, which is why I don't do it now. All right, forget the voice. For us, the job is to say that we have a lot of intellectual property and software, and we've done a lot of work on ink and touch, he said. We have got to make things happen, just like we had to make things happen on netbooks, which I don't think he knows they really haven't done yet. We have to do with Windows 7 on slates. We're in the process of doing that as we speak. He was not more specific, however. We've got to push right now with our hardware partners. People will say when. I'll say as soon as they are ready, and it's a job one urgency. No one is sleeping at the switch, he said. Ballmer hinted that some devices that had been promised in the Slate category might not materialize. He promoted an HP Slate earlier this year at the Consumer Electronics Show, but Microsoft has said little about it since, and some observers wonder about HP's commitment to the device since it purchased Palm. HP listed a Windows-based Slate device on its website recently, but it's unclear if the company still plans to sell the product. HP has said it wants to use Palm's WebOS on tablet computers. There will be things we've talked about in the past that may or may not ship and new things that will ship, Ballmer said Thursday. So our question to you at our website, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is do you yearn for a Slate PC? And the choices are, oh my, yes. Not as such, no. iPad forever, and holding out for the Android Slate. So far, we have 42 votes. Most of you are saying not as such, no. And a distant second is holding out for the Android Slate. Now, look, I know that you folks have a lot more to say about this subject than just clicking a button in a poll. So when you're done clicking the button in the poll, look underneath in the little yellow box. You will see a link that says, give us your opinion. That will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Well done. Where you will be able to answer the question, what type of Slate device do you want and why? So far, we've got about a half a dozen people, five actually. who have answered the poll. And give us a call. What's your dream Slate device? Give us a call. We're at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be happy to talk to you about that. Now, Steve, you're a Mac guy, so the iPad fulfills all your needs and desires forever.
Nah, maybe. We're waiting for the next version that has a camera built in.
Well, and that's the real thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of the interesting things that we're seeing, we haven't really seen any Android tablets yet. Dell has one. GenTouch is supposed to have one at Kmart, but I haven't seen it there yet. But there's a bunch of them on tap for by Christmas, right? And some of them have amazing specs, very fast processors, very high-end graphics chips in them, cameras, two cameras, multiple connector types. And I think that's I've said this before, but I think that's going to, history's going to repeat itself, right? We'll have, as Apple always does, they tend to come out first with a very high-end, very high-quality product. But they get overwhelmed by the massive number of like devices that are less expensive and do sometimes proportionately less. And frankly, sometimes proportionately more, particularly once the economies of scale come into play.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting, I think, as time goes on, to see what goes on. I've been very interested in looking at the GenTouch 78. But I haven't seen one available yet. And then, like I said, there are a bunch of others that are out there. MSI just announced one. The HP one, obviously, is now on hold. But I'm personally very interested in one that has the Android operating system in it, because I have that on my phone. And it would give me...
I was going to ask you how you've been liking the Android. It's been a while. I don't even think I've seen you since you've had it.
I don't like it. I love it.
Oh, I was going to say, you got me worried for a minute.
I love it.
Well, it was funny because at the Soho show, I think obviously you and Steve were there, but I think Laurel Ann may have been there too, or somebody had said the minute he found out that the rep selling Android was there, his feet didn't touch the ground from our booth over to their booth. To look at
exactly
this thing.
Exactly right. I went over there to look, and the lady said, "Do you want one?" I said, "Yes, but you won't let me have one." She said, "What?" Her name was Janine. She was my new best friend that day. And she said, "What?" I said, "I'm not eligible until, at that point, this coming August." And it was like 6 months ago or whatever it was. And she said, "Well, this could be your lucky day. I have magic fingers. And the password." I said, "You're my new best friend." And she looked it up, and she was able to make it happen. So I bought it on the spot, and I loved it. From day one, I absolutely loved it.
Did you ask the wife first?
Yes, I called her first.
All right. I said,
"Dear, this is my last call on the old phone." She said, "What?" I told her, and she said, "Go ahead."
That's when you call her dear and honey and things like that, right. When you want something. Well, that's cool. You know, a lot of people get in those droids, really like them.
I don't know anybody who doesn't.
No.
They're very nice products. They give you everything you need except iTunes. And there are substitutes for iTunes, right? There's the market, the Android market for the apps. And then there's MP3 Store and a couple of other places where you can buy MP3s. So, and you can still buy them on iTunes and save them as MP3s and move them to your phone that way.
Well, and you can load the thing up with MP3s all day long.
All day long. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And videos. I can save videos and move them over. I moved a lot of the TED videos. TED. You know about TED? Oh,
no.
Yeah. Oh, TED. TED.com. And what it is a series of talks given by the most amazing people on Earth. A lot of scientists, a lot of entertainers, a lot of everybody is giving TED Talks. And they're short talks about interesting subjects.
Right.
And I've downloaded, I can't tell you how many of them, to my phone. And they're 15 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes, 20 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever they are. And so I watch them, when I can. Not when I'm driving.
I was going to say, not when you're driving. Because I've seen people with their phones watching something while they're driving.
And that's the sick part. That's Darwinism trying its best.
It's crazy.
It really is. But yeah, I love my Android phone. I could not be happier. It's less expensive than an iPhone. And you know, here's the thing. There's a bunch of people out there right now seething because I'm not saying good things about an iPhone. I'm not saying anything bad about an iPhone. An iPhone is a terrific product. First, it's not on my carrier. And secondly, my phone was less expensive and does everything I need it to do.
Well, and you got to ask yourself, too, how long is it going to be before they open up the iPhone to other carriers?
Well, we've been saying that since the day it came out, and they haven't yet.
Right. Well, if they were smart, they
more,
would.
More and more rumors. Well, it depends on how much money AT&T was going to give them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I can just see Jobs going to AT&T's CEO and say, you know, Verizon wants this iPhone. Why don't you give us another $1 million?
Right. That's exactly right. And he's not stupid. He'll play that game all day long. And if I were the AT&T rep, taking a look at my bottom line, which apparently is very, yeah. very dependent on the iPhone.
Yeah. Sure. How about $2 million?
Yeah, right.
and we forget this conversation ever happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's I love my Droid, and I'm really looking forward to other devices that do the same thing. One of the cool parts to me was when you set it up, I gave it, because it's a Google phone, right? The Android comes from Google. I gave it my Gmail address, and I suddenly was getting my mail,
mm-hmm.
all my contacts, my Picasa albums, name it. All the Google things were suddenly available to me on my phone instantaneously, no question. My calendar, everything. It was also able to set it up to get my calendar from Exchange, which we use at work.
Right.
So I'm set.
I've got 7 email accounts on my BlackBerry.
Yeah.
The only one I'm not able to put on the BlackBerry is the district email account from here. But my Jazz 90.1 accounts go on there. My personal email, my DJ accounts, all that kind of stuff go on here. So when I do go on vacation, I've turned the phone off.
Yeah,
turn
yeah.
it back on and just let it sit there for about 5-10 minutes while it's like registers all this yeah. stuff.
Well, that's why I only have my Gmail address and my work email right. Coming to my phone.
And that's probably bad enough.
That is, but trust me when I tell you that's bad enough. I had to turn off the announcements, the alerts.
The beeps, yep.
Yeah. So because it was just, it was constant. Beep, 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 mm-hmm. beep, 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 beep.
It gets annoying after a
particularly
while.
Particularly the work one.
Right.
So, yeah, I do. I love it. There's a bunch of stuff that I use for work. We run a product called Nagios, which is our monitor for all our servers. And when there's a problem with one, it can alert us to that. Well, there's a program call for the Droid that connects to your Nagios server. So no matter where I am, I can connect to it. And then there's 2 apps, one for the Linux side and one for the Windows side, where I can actually log into the servers and work on them. So I don't even have to be at my desk.
Yeah, but isn't it hard
stuff.
On the small phone screen, though?
It's not easy, but it's doable, and
right.
that's the point.
Right.
And that's why I'd like an Android tablet. So if I could carry a tablet around with me, we've got Wi-Fi everywhere at work,
right.
everywhere. And so if I had that on a 7-inch or a 10-inch screen, life would be really convenient.
Yeah, but you can.
You'd never
you
have to go to the office again.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Can't you also plug your netbook into the Droid and use it
I
as
can.
A modem?
I can.
Okay.
You can tether it, which is one thing that Apple didn't allow for.
Right.
Well, AT&T didn't
right.
allow for.
Apple has been allowing it for almost 2 years, but AT&T hasn't.
Well, except
until
that
now.
Then when the guy put the flashlight app into.
Yeah, there were third-party apps that would allow you to tether, and AT&T had Apple kill them. It's such a burden to the network.
It's a great feature, though. When you
well,
think
what
about
was that study this week that Verizon users use more data than AT&T users in general?
Well, that's because so far most Verizon users are still grandfathered into the all-you-can-eat.
Yeah.
And anybody who bought an iPad or a new iPhone is suddenly on the new tiered plans.
Yeah.
And so they're already beginning to see a much lower usage of the network
right.
than the Verizon.
You're
people
worried
are still
that you're
on the all-you-can-eat plan.
Yeah, you don't want to watch that movie because you're going to get a bigger bill.
Yeah, the movie eats up your bill.
Right,
it's your
a movie,
bill.
Yeah.
And it's really a problem, I think, for Apple. On the one hand, their ads say, I'm sitting in the airport and watching a movie. And on the other hand, AT&T is essentially saying, if you watch a movie, you've used up your minutes for the month.
Don't stream the movie. You know, save it to your hard drive and copy it to the device.
Well, and exactly.
And then you need a bigger storage media.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's where the problem comes in. There's a dichotomy between the two that I don't think Apple is going to win.
Yeah.
As long as there's...
Well, see, it's old media versus new media. If you buy the movie on iTunes, everything works fine. If you want to stream it on the internet, then there's problems.
Right. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be just back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 18 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show. Sound bites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy, with locations in Brockport, Chi-Lai, Gates, and Webster. Agape Physical Therapy offers customized exercise programs for those who suffer with arthritis, back, knee, and neck pain. Each of Agape Physical Therapy's four locations stresses a group approach to treatment and is staffed with a doctor of physical therapy or a McKenzie specialist to ensure the most effective therapy. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the annual Park Avenue Summer Arts Festival. The festival takes place this year on August 7th and 8th with over 300 artists, food, live entertainment, and kid-friendly activities. As a reminder, no pets, bikes, or drinking are allowed at the festival. There's plenty of parking behind Gleason Works on University and Monroe Square on Monroe Avenue with shuttles to and from the festival. For more information on this year's Park Ave Festival, you may visit www.rochesterevents.com. Jazz 90.1 will again be at the Park Ave Festival all weekend on the corner of Park Avenue and Meg Street.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Hi, this is Eric Gruner. Please join me weekdays from 3 till 6 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. You guys forget that I tend to surprise you. You don't remember those
I've forgotten that.
See, Dave says, get ready 2 minutes before we're back.
I know.
Rob says, you were on the air 10 seconds ago.
Dave's saying get ready essentially means we've got like 20 minutes. We ain't hit the John. We can go take a walk. We can read a newspaper. With Rob, he just looks at us and goes, there's dead air. Where are you? It's 21 minutes after the hour, and we are sound bites. And we have on the phone Peg, who's calling from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Peg. What's your question?
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
And the same to you.
I have an older Dell. It's about 5 years old. And I've been trying to play live streaming video, and I get constant buffering.
Yeah.
And I've tried upgrading my router. I've done speed checks with Roadrunner. Nothing seems to come up as being wrong.
How much memory do you have in the computer, and how much memory on your video card?
My RAM is 1.25 gigabytes. I'm not sure what I've got on my video card. It's an old Intel Extreme Graphics. Yeah, it's not a real high-powered video
card.
That's
probably the problem.
And what operating system are you running?
XP.
Okay. Two things you can try. The RAM is okay, not great, but okay. The video card probably is just simply old.
Yeah.
But one thing you could try, and this is a Dell, so theoretically you should be able to get this information directly from Dell with your serial number.
Okay.
Go to their website and put in your serial number, and you should find out if there are any newer drivers for any of your equipment. In particular, you're specifically looking for the video driver, but also check for the Ethernet driver.
I did check. The video driver was up to date.
Okay.
Ethernet, I haven't checked. I'm running wireless.
Well, then you check your wireless. Well, there's a possibility.
Wireless A, B, G, or N?
N.
N is good.
I just upgraded yesterday thinking, well, maybe that'll help, but it didn't.
You could try hardwiring into your router just as a test as well.
Right.
Say that again?
Run an Ethernet wire directly to your router and switch off the wireless temporarily.
Okay.
And try that. But the answer is more than likely just that your video card is simply too old.
Yeah, that's what I wondered, if I was trying to, like, jam a four-lane superhighway into a two-lane country road kind of thing.
Yeah, you well may be doing. You're at that choke point, you know,
okay,
going down to the... Yeah. And so that's where the buffering is. And that's a good analogy, actually, because when there's enough cars, they have to all wait while they filter into the narrower lane.
I do notice if I open something up and I just pause it and then I walk away, I can come back and it can play... You know, if it's buffered enough, where I can play.
You're building
more
up
than
the
two
buffer,
seconds.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's and the other thing is, have you tried multiple sites, video from multiple sites? It could be just the site you're going to.
It does it on YouTube. It does it on some other sites. Audio seems to be running fine because I was listening to you guys on, doing audio streaming, and that one seems fine. So it seems to be video. Which,
yeah.
Is the main problem.
There you go, and you've done a great job troubleshooting. Audio works fine, so it's audio uses less bandwidth, of course.
Right.
But the real problem seems to me to be your video card.
Okay.
The best thing to do is to have a friend with a high-end laptop, Mac, PC, I don't care, to come over and check out to set up their laptop on your network. And try to stream something and see what happens. If they're fine, you know it's your video card. If they're not, you know it's got something to do with either your router or your network connection.
Okay.
One thing you could try is a speed test. And I forget where it is on the Roadrunner.
I did run that.
Okay.
And it came up fine, and I had Roadrunner check it from their end, and they said, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, then I got to say it's probably your video card. But if you've got a friend with a high-end laptop of some sort, have them bring it over and try it and see what happens.
Sounds great.
There you go. Good luck, Peg.
Appreciate the help.
Thank you.
I always love running speed test here because of the proxy server. I get 100 megabits.
Right, because you're direct to the proxy server. Right.
And I am 100 megabits to the proxy server.
Right, which doesn't tell you anything about what goes on beyond that, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's like in the old days, you used to be able to see what your connection to a modem was,
yep.
And people would say, I don't understand, I'm getting 115,000 bits per second, and yet nothing comes over fast. And I said, that's the connection from you to the modem, not from the modem to the world.
Yep.
That's a whole other set of stories there. But, yeah, Peg's done an excellent job, by the way, of troubleshooting her problem. She's checked all the possibilities, and then and we like that. It narrows down the stupid answers we would have given. So that's always a good thing. Let's take another story. Amazon. Amazon's announcement late Wednesday that it will launch a new version of its Kindle ebook reader in August could further stoke a price battle between major players in the e-reader market. Ebook reader prices have been slowly falling for months, but price cuts began to gain pace since late June when Barnes & Noble's cut the price of its Nook reader and introduced a new model at $149. The price made it the cheapest ebook reader from a major retailer. It still holds that distinction today, but might not hold it much longer. Amazon's third generation Kindle will come in two models, one with 3G wireless and one without. And the cheaper of the two will cost $139 when it goes on sale August 27th. It's an impressive price decline for the Kindle, the cheapest model of which cost $259 in the middle of June. In late August, barely 2 months later, the Kindle entry point will have dropped almost by half. At that price, it is now almost an impulse buy for some consumers, said Tim Renouden, an analyst at Ovum in London. He said that he wouldn't be surprised if Barnes & Noble further cut the price of the Nook, but that the competition would be most felt by lesser-known brands. Many of these companies have used price as a key selling point, but with the Kindle so cheap, it'll be hard to compete when Amazon offers additional benefits, such as tight integration with its online store and a huge library of books. The lower price will also Also increases the gap between e-readers and a slew of tablet PCs that are now coming to market. Led by Apple's iPad and including several promised machines based on Google's Android OS, the tablets offer many more functions than e-readers but are heavier, have a much shorter battery life, and are typically more difficult to read for long periods of time. Amazon is banking on the lower price translating into more sales, and there is evidence that could already be happening. The Kindle has already become the best-selling item on Amazon for 2 years running, and last week the company had said it reached a tipping point with the new price of Kindle. We're seeing very, very strong Kindle device growth, and we're seeing very, very strong content growth. Tom Skudek, Amazon's chief financial officer, Tim and Tom, who cares what their last names are, told investors during a conference call. On Wednesday, Amazon had said it had already sold out of the $189 model, which won't be on sale until August 27th. Hello. $149 model. But the company has to date been cagey on just how well the Kindle's actually been selling and hasn't released detailed sales figures. They did say that the Kindle sales are now outselling hardcover sales. Certainly not outselling paperback sales. Certainly not that. But the hardcover sales, yes. So our question to you, does the new Kindle price entice you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, a lot of people are expecting the Kindle DX to get discontinued completely.
Yeah.
For only $100 more, you get an iPad with a color screen, full applications, web browser, full everything. The Kindle DX is still $379. It's interesting, though, seeing the new commercials for the Kindle because they show people reading on the beach. Because the Kindle works really, really well in bright sunlight. And the iPad works really, really well in darkness because it has a backlight.
Right, right, right. Well, that was one of the things I liked about the new Android tablets that are coming out, because you can get both the Nook application and the Kindle application on it, which means that you're not tied down to any one retailer for your books. All we need now is the Borders application, whatever that would be, and we've got all the three major booksellers. So that's the deal about that. And that's, you know, the $149 Gen Touch. The folks in the IRC chat at Octothorpe Soundbites were one of them. Who was it? It was the doctor, of course. Sent me a link to a review of the Augen Gen Touch 78. 7-inch Android tablet. It says it's a piece of junk, and I can't disagree with that.
And it's being sold by Kmart for $150.
Right, and I don't doubt that it's a piece of junk. I don't necessarily. I might buy one anyway, but I realize that it's going to be terribly slow and just not a well made. It's from Augen, for Pete's sake. It's not going to be a well made product. I get that.
Their default desktop picture is terrible.
And I suspect it's got a really bad video chip in. I suspect it's a horrible video chip. I get that. I get all of that.
But the clock is dated 3:23 a.m., so they had to wake up real early to take this really bad picture.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But what really interests me about it, not necessarily this particular device, but this class, is that I can use it for an ebook reader at a price approximately the same as any one company's ebook reader, and yet I can have every company's ebook reader in it.
Yep.
And that's and on top of that, all the Android stuff and all the other things that I want.
Yeah, a lot of people like the Kindle app for the iPhone better than the Kindle app for Kindle.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the Kindle books you buy are in color, but the Kindle doesn't support color yet. So you read that same book on your iPhone, iPad, Android, and everything is already in color for you.
Right, and so I'm looking forward to seeing all that. I've got both on my phone, but obviously the screen is very small, and obviously my eyes are old. I'm fine, but my eyes are old.
So you get two Android phones mounted.
Shut up,
on
you
the
puppy!
Glasses.
He's just smirking. Go, shut up! Shut up right now! I will come and slap you into your 50s.
Yeah, but you gotta catch me first. Gotta catch me first.
I'm sorry, Steve, you were saying?
I don't remember now.
What are the phone numbers again? You know, I think everyone's at Chelsea Clinton's wedding today. So
I could not go because I had to be here.
Well, I know you were on the guest list, and you had to tell the president that you, you know, you sent a card anyway.
Well, Bill, but Hillary was upset, and I felt bad, you know. Having to ditch it like that.
They turned the area of the wedding into a no-fly zone today.
Yeah.
Kid you not. It's just like, unreal. You know, people are going to be, flights will be delayed today because Chelsea Clinton's getting married.
That's right. Aren't you glad you're not going on your cruise today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you'd be going right over it.
That's right.
Actually.
That's right.
Or actually, you wouldn't.
Well, I was going to say, the pilot could try.
But it would be the last cruise you ever go for.
That's right. Hey, what are the phone numbers again?
Why, the phone numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. And, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And now you know you could reach us via your Android phone or your iPhone while you're out there at the Puerto Rican Festival. Isn't that today?
Yeah.
Isn't that what's going on today?
Rochester's always so busy with Puerto Rican Festival this weekend. You got Park Ave Fest next weekend.
Right. And you guys will be there.
We'll be there. Don't ask me where because I forget.
That's okay.
Same spot as last year.
Okay. If that helps.
I think it's between Alexander and Meg's, I believe. So we're right at the beginning of the festival.
Yeah, I remember that.
We'll be there kissing hands, shaking babies, things like that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yep. Good
Very
time.
Nice. And we'll probably come down and say hi. We'll be on the air at some point, one way or another. So, yeah, it should be, this is it. This is the time of summer when this stuff happens, and I realize that people are not necessarily available to call in. But what that means is
the Phelps Sauerkraut Festival is coming up.
Oh, my heavens. Will we be there?
Sauerkraut is.
Phelps, ew.
Sorry. We look forward to your emails. That's steve@jazz901.org. steve@jazz901.org. We look forward to your emails.
Normally I would just laugh too, but I'm the one that gets the emails now.
I'm telling you, steve@jazz901.org. It was not Rob, it was Steve.
That's right.
So, yeah, they're all there. This is the time of year for all of them, and but that doesn't mean you can't call in because you have a cell phone. And you can just, you don't have to call in with a computer question, tell us how much you're enjoying the Puerto Rican Festival. Hold your phone up to the music. We'll listen for a minute. Okay, listen, we don't do just jazz here. We do it all.
And Tito Rojas is playing at the Water Street Music Hall tonight.
Excellent. That's a nice thing. Anyway, we're talking about this Android tablet, and I know it's going to be this particular one is going to be a steaming pile of junk, and I get that, and I get it. But I'm really interested in seeing it. At least, so that'll be nice, and I'm really looking forward to the good ones. I guess I shouldn't say that, but I'm looking forward to the other ones. They're not listening, so I don't even have to look forward to their emails.
That's always been Microsoft's product strategy. You release crap for 10 years, and then when you get it right, everyone thinks you're amazing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, and that's what we're seeing with their tablet strategy right now. And are we calling it a tablet or a pad or tablets are the ones. Up till now, tablets have been the computers where you can twist the screen around and lay it down over the keyboard.
Yeah, handwriting. You see them in all the sci-fi TV shows and movies.
Right.
Always using those.
Right, but you don't see them in real life. Although, I've been using ShapeWriter on my Android phone, and what it does is it brings up a keyboard, and instead of pecking out each letter, you swipe your finger across it. So if you want to write the word you, you put your finger down on the Y and then swipe it across the O and the U, and it figures out what word you were trying to put in. And so I can type it about 45 words a minute.
Wow.
It's the first week I was doing about one word an hour. But at this point, I'm doing pretty quick. I'm not quite up to 45, but they're saying that the average really becomes about 45 words a minute. And it's just and you type things, and it figures out where words break and everything else. It is an amazing, amazing program. And there's another one called Swipe, and then there's a third one, S-W-Y-P-E, and then there's a third one whose name I don't remember. But those are and I don't know if those are also available on the iPhone pad thing.
That's one of the tricks with the iPhone, the iOS devices, is the predictive typing. It takes a little bit of getting used to because you know when you've made a typo and you want to delete and fix it. But if you just keep typing, that predictive typing usually guesses the right word.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been videos of people that are able to type 100 words a minute on the iPhone.
Yep.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. And that, of course, also has to do with the speed of the processor, the speed of the graphics card,
yep.
and everything else, which I'm never going to reach on my 800 megahertz Droid. But on the 1 gigahertz Incredible, that's certainly a possibility, yep. right? So we're seeing a new generation of things. And one of the things that's nice about that is as we get away from the keyboard in the form factor, companies have been forced, and of course, if you're a business person, you think of that as an opportunity not being forced, to come out with alternatives to typing that work better than typing on that device. So the initial one was just that pop-up keyboard where you then had to peck out every letter, which is okay. You know, it's better than a poke in the eye with a burnt stick, but it's not good. And now we've got things like the swipe device, which lets you do all of that. And, of course, also on the Droid is voice recognition, which works astonishingly well, by the way. I have used it to take notes, and it's been great. It's an amazing thing. I can also say to my phone, you know, call whatever, whoever, mobile, and it just does it. It's an astonishing thing. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve and Rob. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Tom Castronova. Please allow me to refresh your memory. It used to be on Mondays from 6 to 9 when I started on this station. Then I moved to Tuesdays and did this thing called Tuesdays with the Two Toms. And we featured Louis Armstrong music. Then I moved back to Monday from 6 to 9. Now I'm back on Tuesday. You got all that? So please, join me Tuesdays from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on Member Supported Jazz Radio in Rochester. Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno inviting you to join me every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 for my new show, Sinatra and Company.
I have got you under my skin.
I'll feature the music of Frank Sinatra as well as those with whom Frank worked and played. Artists like Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Count Basie, Rosemary Clooney, and many more. So join in the fun with Sinatra and Company every Sunday afternoon at 3:30. Right here on Jazz 90.1.
I would sacrifice anything.
Hi, this is Olivia Fox. You know, there are tons of social networks on the web, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living donor, or if you are someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com.
Hi, this is Greg Lefebvre. Join me every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for Doc's Juke Joint on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 41 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Yes, indeed. We've been talking about the new Augen GenTouch 78 Android tablet. And the more I read about it, the more I realize it is junk. But it's $150. And if I'm going to use it mostly as an ebook reader, then I don't know that's necessarily a bad thing. So I may pick it up and give it a try anyway. Of course, I can't find it anywhere. I called up the local retailer who sells it, let's just say, and they on Monday, and they said, oh, yeah, we've got two of them. I'm looking right at them. So I go down there, and indeed, they do not have any. So the guy said, oh, yeah, we sold those out on Saturday. I said, I don't think so, because today was the first day they were on sale. Oh, those, they haven't come in yet. Oh, okay, all right, fine. So I called on Wednesday, you know, after the truck comes in. I called again on Friday. They didn't have any. So I'm not quite sure what that's about.
You got to know somebody that works in the receiving department.
Because
we used to be really into collectible action figures.
Yeah.
And that was the only way we could get ahead of our friends who went there at 8 a.m. every morning.
Yeah, right.
To see what new came in and would literally go through the boxes as they were coming off the truck.
Yeah. That is how you have to do it. I'll tell you after we take this next phone call, I'll tell you a great story about Beanie Babies. Remember Beanie Babies? I'll tell you a good story about those. All right, our next caller is Jim from Churchville, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Thanks. I'm having a problem with a wireless router. I've got a new wireless laptop, and I've put a Netgear wireless N router on my desktop. And when I'm using my laptop, actually on one of the game sites on Pogo, it crashes constantly on me. It just loses the connection, and I hit the diagnose. I hit everything to diagnose it and get no information whatsoever. And I've moved the actual router around. It's upstairs, and I'm downstairs in a Cape Cod. You got any suggestions?
Yeah, first, let's take a couple of steps back. The Netgear N router is connected directly to whoever your ISP is, right into their router.
Yeah? Yes.
And then everything else is connected into the Netgear.
Yes.
Okay.
And everything else is only one other machine.
All right, and that runs fine, never has a problem. So if you play games on that...
Well, I did start losing it last night on the hardwired, or the original one that the router is plugged into.
All right. Now, again, have you talked to your internet service provider about the quality of your connection?
No, I haven't.
That's the place I'd start. Because if it's also happening on the hardwire, it has nothing to do with the wireless, right? It's okay. Either the router itself is bad, or your connection is a problem. Now, that can happen for a whole lot of reasons. I have squirrels. We have squirrels in
squirrel?
Our... No, not... Down boy. Down boy. We have squirrels, and every 2 years, we have to replace our cable connection. Simply because the squirrels chew through the lines. And so
that I didn't check.
Yeah. So what happens is my television starts to get a little wonky, and that's a technical term. Because I live in the shadow of Pinnacle Hill, so suddenly I start getting every channel on every channel, right? So I don't even, you know, apparently there's a note. This is a fairly common occurrence, at least in my neighborhood. So I call them up and say, I've got a problem with my service. They just say, yes, sir, we'll just come and change your lines again. Thank you very much. And then for 2 years, I'm fine, and I have to call again. And we just did it. It's every even year, so we just did it this summer. And you may want to have them check your lines to make sure. And I don't know who your connection is, and it really doesn't matter. It could be Frontier. It could be Roadrunner. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Have them check the connection between you and them. Have them check your router. They're happy to do that. They do that as part of their normal service to you. So do that and find out if the problem is actually yours or theirs. And if it's not theirs, then I would suspect the new router itself.
One of the things they'll likely recommend is taking your router out of the equation completely and plugging one computer directly into the internet router.
Right, and I might suggest that you do that. You know, plug your desktop computer right into the router and play Pogo games from there and see if it happens again.
Okay.
But that'll help tell you. And I'll tell you, I own a Netgear router and a Netgear N router and have been thrilled with the performance and the ability. So it's not the product itself, although any one device can, of course, can have problems.
Okay. Can I run one quick thing by you?
I don't know. Can you?
My laptop has both 64-bit and 32-bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand what that does for me.
You mean two different boot ups?
Well, it had, whatever the 64 and the 30, yeah.
So when you first started up, you have a choice between booting into 32 and 64?
I do have a choice, but I don't choose anything, and I don't know what it's in. I don't know whether it's in 64 or 32.
There's probably a little countdown clock that picks for you.
And you could use your arrow keys while it's up there to pick one or the other. It really doesn't matter in the long run which you use. 64-bit is faster on all the newer chips, but unless you have more than 3 gig of RAM, it doesn't really take advantage of it.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, and then in that case, you want 64-bit, because then you'll use all your memory to best advantage.
But then all your programs and drivers need to be 64-bit as well to take advantage of that.
To take best advantage of it, yeah.
Okay.
And in general, if you have a 64-bit Windows system, when you go to load a driver, if it's at all available, it will load the 64-bit driver. So it's not anything you have to worry about. My suggestion is to figure out which one you're using by, you know, whichever one's on top is the one that you're normally booting into. But if you have 4 gig of RAM, I would suggest you use the 64-bit version.
Okay, great.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. We're seeing that more and more. It used to be that 64-bit systems, you know, desktop systems, 64-bit servers, of course, have been around for a long time. 64-bit desktop systems were fairly rare. And that mainly, again, has to do with how much RAM you have and the quality of the drivers available for your hardware and et cetera, et cetera. I've been running 64-bit Linux for, I don't know, ever. But 64-bit Windows is really just coming into its own. In the last couple of years, people have started using laptops and desktops that are powerful enough that 64-bit Windows, particularly Windows 7, come on them by default. So if you have 4 gig of RAM or more, new hardware so that the drivers can take advantage of it, every once in a while you'll find some older program that you may want to run that doesn't have a 64-bit version. That'll slow your system down a little bit, but it'll still run. But you're best off, if you can, to run 64-bit in general. On the Linux side, I have trouble with Flash in 64-bit. I don't know why.
Because there's no 64-bit
version. Well, it's Flash. That's part one, certainly. But, yeah, so I don't know. It's
I just read that their latest 10.1 update for the Flash player, they are trying to cut down on the CPU usage and shift over to the GPU, because that's one of the complaints against Flash is it's so processor intensive. You're running a Flash video in your browser, your CPU activity goes to 100%, and everything else slows down really bad.
Right. I'm not a huge fan of Flash anyway, so I mostly don't miss it. Chris, a friend of the show, Chris Reich, is absolutely right. Flash is only available for 32 bits on Linux, and it really doesn't play nice in the 64-bit environment. But I don't really miss it. Every once in a while, somebody says, oh, you really need to see this. And if it's something for work, then I'll pop up my laptop, which is running 32-bit Linux as well as 32-bit Windows 7, and I'll boot into one or the other and look at it. But that's only, you know, if it's a work thing. I run a program called Block Flash on my Chrome browser, which just kills all Flash altogether all the time. And believe me when I tell you 99.9% of the time, I really don't miss it.
Because a lot of times Flash is the ads that you don't want to see anyway.
Right. On most websites, Flash is the ads. Flash Block is available on Firefox. Chandra's right. And so, you know, by doing that also, it seems at least to me to speed up my system. I don't have to download any of that Flash. It's certainly not taking up any of my processor cycles. Flash isn't loaded into the background, and so it doesn't slow my system down anymore. So I've really come to appreciate it. And again, well, yes, YouTube, except that I don't do YouTube at work. That's my point. This is at work.
And a lot of YouTube is switching to HTML5.
Right. All the newer stuff is HTML5 anyway. So that doesn't bother me. The TED stuff I can download as MP4s. And so I can just download them and watch them on my phone if I want to. You can download them in one of the nice things is you can download them in both MP4, which is very high quality, full HD NES, and you can also download them in iTunes format, which will play just fine on my phone. And And those are smaller and designed for that size screen. So, you know, that's really kind of nice. And so I don't miss Flash. I see a little box for all the ads. I don't see the ads themselves, which is nice. I'm one of those people who, well, certainly at work. At home is, never mind at home. But at work, I'm mostly there for information, right, when I go to the internet. I'm not there for entertainment because I'm at work. I'm not there to be distracted by the junk that comes up in
Squirrel.
The ads. Exactly. Exactly. I have enough problem with that. I don't need help. Thank you very much. So by blocking all the Flash that comes up, I can concentrate on the information I need. People are always saying, you found that awfully fast. Well, I'm not distracted by a bunch of junk. Half the time I use a text-only browser anyway. And that's really fast. So, and then when I really need to watch something, I use VLC. So, which is also
now,
available.
Now, could you run a 32-bit VM inside your 64-bit OS?
I can. I absolutely can. And I've done that a few times, but it doesn't really gain me anything except
Flash.
Annoying Flash. So I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, and for a while I was running a 32-bit and a 64-bit, as a matter of fact, VM of Windows 7. But now I'm actually our desktoping, a remote desktop into a virtual system we have set up. So that's actually a little easier. So I've had a lot of success with that, and I use that to, you know, I have to do some stuff on our server because I'm a manager, and that requires Internet Explorer because the programmers who wrote it are idiots. It runs in other things as long as you pretend you're an Internet Explorer, and then every once in a while you run into something where they took a shortcut, right? That doesn't work somewhere else. So. It apparently looks for Internet Explorer and shuts itself down if you're not using Internet Explorer because the programmers were lazy. Sorry, it just annoys me. And
take the easy way out.
Exactly. And so we don't have I don't have that ability on Linux. So I run our desktop into the other system and I can bring up my calendar right in Exchange, and I can bring
ever,
up that.
Ever looked at Steve Gibson's website, grc.com?
Yes, all the
time. He is a hero. He writes everything in hand assembler, which is amazing. But his website has no Flash, no JavaScript, no scripting at all, because scripting is where a lot of the malformed stuff comes through. But he's got pull-down menus, and he's got everything that makes you think he's running all this super cool stuff.
Yeah.
And he's just amazing.
He's because he knows what he's doing. He's done it well. Did we talk to Jim from Churchville? Yeah, we did. I don't need this anymore. It's
yeah. His SpinRite program is like 66K, and he was so mad when it leaked into another block. Of storage space.
This SpinRite, for those of you who have never seen it, is a product designed to recover dead hard drives, essentially. And it goes in on a block-by-block basis, looks at everything that's in there, figures out what was supposed to be there, and fixes it. And it does an amazing job on every single drive I've ever put it on. It's 66K, and he wrote it in hand-coded assembler. No C++, C#, Java, nothing.
Which is, well, I don't know, problem isn't quite the right word, but it doesn't run on a Mac. Because it's written to int 13.
Right.
Even though the Macs are now Intel based and run x86 code.
Right.
Everything he wrote is coded to int 13 to see the ATA bus.
Right.
So he's got his plan of what he's going to do for the next 10 years.
Right.
So SpinRite for Mac is two or three programs down the road.
Right.
But it works fine on Mac drives. You just have to plug him into a PC. It does nothing to the file system. It just looks at the blocks.
Right, it couldn't care less what's on there, as long as he's done it. It's real low-level assembler, and it's an amazing, amazing feat.
I had one guy complain that it hasn't been updated in years. It hasn't needed to be.
Well, and that's exactly right. What I haven't tried it on is the new solid-state drives.
Do not.
Ah,
the way solid-state drives, solid-state drives are completely different. They are designed to write your data into different blocks. And because every time you write data onto a solid state drive, you damage the block a little tiny bit.
Right.
So there's a limited number of writes, and SpinRite will actually eat up the drive.
Yeah,
because
it reads and writes. Archandra is saying that it's not really amazing. It's stupid, possibly uninformed. Sometimes it's far faster to write just the low-level stuff in assembly, have an optimized compiler handle the rest. Linux is a good example of that. Yes, that's true, unless what you really – you don't care about how fast it is to write, and what you really care is how fast and clean it is to run. Hand-coded assembler, there's nothing faster. When you're running a program, and so that's what he was interested in, keeping it as small as possible and have it run as fast as possible. So it's neither stupid nor uninformed. It's just that he had both the time and the luxury to sit down and write that stuff. And you know what? I know some people, and I'm sure he is clearly one of them, who think that way in their heads. I had a boss who hand coded 6502 assembler code. And just wrote it, went into the Apple II.
Off his head, yeah.
Yeah, off his head. Just sat there and typed in hex codes and hit enter, and he had a running program because that's how he thought. And it was fast and it was easy, and he was able to do anything he could. We're going to take another break back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 58 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. And what show is that? No, you have to say it with me. You know what it is. It's Soundbites, and where are we? You know exactly where we are. We are right here, and you should be calling us. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. You've just wasted an entire hour of your life with this show. There's a whole nother hour for you to waste, and it's easier if you waste it with us right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
There's a monster under my bed.
For a child with asthma, monsters are everywhere.
There's a monster in my bathtub.
Something as innocent as a teddy bear or a bath toy could trigger their next asthma attack. Here are ways to help. Freezing stuffed animals to kill dust mites. Drying bath toys to prevent mold. Learn how to end your child's asthma attacks at noattacks.org or call 866-NO-ATTACKS because their next breath is in your hands. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You want insurance? I got insurance. I got so much insurance, I'll insure your insurance.
If only it were this easy to recognize insurance fraud. Unfortunately, you could be a victim and never see it coming. Stop. Call and confirm. Stop before signing paperwork, making a payment, or providing personal information. Call your state insurance department and confirm that the company or agent is licensed to sell insurance in your state. Visit insureyouonline.org today. That's insure, the letter U, online.org.
This is station manager Rob Linton. If you're a local jazz musician, Jazz 90.1 wants to hear from you. You and your band could be featured as part of our 2010-2011 live studio concert series. We'll tell you how you could perform for local listeners on the radio as well as internet worldwide, and we'll also promote your concert for listeners and give you your very own copy of the concert. If you're interested in performing live jazz on the radio and internet, visit the Jazz 90.1 website at www.jazz901.org for more information on how to apply. The Rochester area has been home to great jazz musicians, and it still is. Let everybody hear how great you are, live on the radio from the studios of Jazz 90.1. Hurry, slots are filling up fast. For more information, including how to apply, visit jazz901.org.
Every day, you can help good things happen. Claudia, a local health worker in Nicaragua, helps save 6 children from pneumonia. Rosina in Bangladesh helps save 10 children from diarrhea. Aster in Ethiopia helps save 20 from malaria. And Salif in Mali helps save 30 from the effects of malnutrition. Help one, save many. Visit goodgoes.org to find all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 2 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of Soundbites. We don't know why, but apparently you are. Our next caller is Don from Hilton. Welcome, Don. What's your question?
Well, you were talking about, I wasn't listening closely enough when
what?
You were talking about how to check the speed on the internet, and I didn't get it exactly. Right now, my internet connection seems to be crawling. I have Clearwire, and so it's a direct connection to the Clearwire box.
Speedtest.net is a generic speed tester that will test your internet speed from basically anywhere in the country, probably anywhere in the world. If you can find a speed tester at your own ISP, Frontier and Time Warner both have local speed testers, you get a little better rating number. I'm not sure if Clearwire has a speed tester. We can take a look here at Google and see what they say. But you can always go to speedtest.net and see what your general speed of internet access is. Now, Clearwire is typically a lot slower than DSL or cable because it's using radio wireless. So it's slower, but in cases where you can't get access to wired cable or DSL, it's oftentimes your only option.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I may change it. At the time, I liked it because it was portable.
Yeah, that's a nice thing about it. You can take your Clearwire radio receiver pretty much anywhere and get on the internet anywhere you can find the radio signal, which is it's a wide spectrum broadcast, so you can pick it up almost anywhere.
Well, my thing has been it's been fast enough to suit me, but late last day or so it seems to be crawling, and I'm just wondering if I'm having a problem someplace.
It's certainly possible, but it's more likely that Clearwire has some sort of interference or whatever. So, you know, any 1 or 2 day problem theoretically should be cleared up. The other thing is to check their website. I'm sure they, like most internet service providers, have a page somewhere on their site, and it may only be available to customers, so you'd have to log in to find it, that tell you if there's any sort of repair work or build work, that sort of fare going on. We often see that on both Frontier and Roadrunner sites. You know, they'll say such and so work being done in this area, whatever. There's even a Twitter feed that I know of for Time Warner Cable that does much the same thing. Problem in the X area should be cleared up in an hour, and then an hour later they say cleared up, everything's fine.
So. Time Warner just recently bought a big chunk of Clearwire, and they're starting to advertise it as Roadrunner Wireless.
There you go.
So they are reselling pieces of Clearwire on their Roadrunner brand.
Ah.
So it may well be that they're doing some work.
Or now that so many more people are using it, everyone else gets slower.
Yeah, right.
Now that could well happen.
Remember
possible.
When dial-up got faster because everyone switched over to broadband?
Yes, in fact, I actually do. One of the things about wireless in general is that it's a shared connection. So as with any shared connection, if enough people – it's the same with cable providers because of where they end up getting individual connectivity. You share the wire with a whole bunch of other people. So when there's a whole bunch of other people on, there's a lot of collisions and a lot of resends, so your apparent speed is much slower than it would seem it should be. So it may well be that over the last couple of days, wherever you've been, there have been a lot of other people on.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Sure, our pleasure. That's one of the things about wireless. That's always been true. When you know, I've been in places where, you know, I'm the only guy in the coffee shop for a while, and I've got blazing speed, and then all of a sudden, you know, 40 people show up to sit around for a while, and my speed drops to a crawl. Of course, always remember when you're in a public wireless situation, you never want to go somewhere where you would have to type in your username and password on any site that does not start with HTTPS. That's a very important thing.
There have been pictures of, coffee shops. People bring their laptops in. You know, that's no big deal. Saw pictures circulating around where a guy brought his iMac in. So you bring your all-in-one desktop and set it in the coffee shop.
Nice.
And sit there for hours and play WoW.
There you go.
It's portable. I can pick it up and carry it.
I guess you can. All right. Now that Apple has pacified iPhone 4 customers with free bumper cases to alleviate antenna issues, rather than fixing the antenna issues, the company is looking into problems with iOS 4 and the iPhone 3G. iOS in Apple terms, not in Cisco, which actually, of course, has the trademark iOS. For more than a month, iPhone 3G owners have raged on Apple support forums about the latest operating system update. It's bad enough that the iPhone 3G doesn't support multitasking. The two-year-old phone just isn't powerful enough. But slow performance, battery drain, and hot hardware are making matters worse. On YouTube, one user created a parody video showing all the tasks performed in one of Apple's first iPhone ads except running iOS 4. Except the new phone that he did it on in the video was running iOS 4. The parody was three times longer than the original 30-second commercial as the iPhone 3G stuttered its way through music, email, the internet, and a phone call. Apple told the Wall Street Journal that it's aware of the reports and is looking into the matter, but didn't explicitly say a solution was coming and didn't give a timeline. This doesn't bode well for a quick fix. iPhone 4 users are still waiting for Apple to address the phone's proximity sensor, which is allowing accidental hang-ups and other commands when the phone is held close to the cheek. Apple promised Apple's solution to that is don't hold your phone like it was a phone, either by the left hand or to your face. Apple promised during its iPhone 4 antenna press conference that it would fix the problem soon, and that was 3 weeks ago. Although the sluggish iOS performance on the iPhone 3G and the iPhone 4's proximity sensor issues are arguably more frustrating to more users, their ability to be fixed with software allowed them to dodge the antenna hysteria. But with Apple putting out the antenna gate fire, the pressure's on to make things right with iOS 4. Our question to you, are you happy with iOS 4? Give us a call. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, outside the 585 area code, it's toll-free. God bless the people at member-supported Jazz 90.1 for giving us a toll-free number at 1-800-790-0415. And that's just it. We're worldwide. You can listen to us locally, over the air. You can listen to us via the web at jazz901.org, as I know so many of you are. Dar up in Canada catches us on the internets, in the intertubes there.
So this week we're not broadcasting on Ustream because Dave's the one that brings the camera.
Right, we're not on Ustream this week, although we usually are.
See, I could work it so that each of our individual cameras are on, but then you just get a shot of your nostril.
Yeah. I'm not that excited by somebody staring up my nostrils while I broadcast. It's just one of those things that I'm like. All right. See, I love this. Dave barely gets the name down, and when he does, he scribbles it so that I'm looking at it thinking, either we're talking to Sal, Gal, Fred, or Ethel. I don't know who this is. But not only does Rob Linton give us the name in a font I can actually read, but he also gives us the town. So this is Harold, or Howard. Now I screwed it up.
You screwed it up.
I screwed it up. Howard from Irondequoit. Welcome, Howard. What's your question?
Yes, that's okay. I've been called Harold many times, as much as Howard. Okay, I got a twofold question.
Yeah.
On one, I've got XP system, and it says a loading error, and it gives me the document, and it tells me where it's at, and it says this special module, i.e., could not be found. How do I get rid of that? It was an old Kodak EasyShare setup.
What you need to do is uninstall the software. Generally speaking, if you go into the control panel and select Add Remove Programs,
okay,
you'll find that program there, and you just click on it, and we'll give you the option to uninstall. And when you do that, it'll uninstall it, and that question should go away. Now, if it doesn't, then there's probably a driver issue somewhere in the system, and I can't tell you exactly how to get rid of that without actually seeing the thing, but that
it
should
may,
do
it. And it may be that that program has been partially uninstalled. That would be bad. Then the uninstaller won't work, and then you can try downloading a program called Revo Uninstaller.
Because I think that's it. It was partially uninstalled, and this got hanged up in it.
Yep.
So what was the name of that program you could try?
Revo Uninstaller, R-E-V-O, and it's on our link list, and I think it's just revouninstaller.com.
Yeah, it's revouninstaller.com. Okay. R-E-V-O Uninstaller, that's all one word, .com.
Okay.
Download that. It's a free program, and run it. Listen, when you – I have to – Dave talks about Revo Uninstaller all the time, and I have to give this caveat. When you use it, use constraint. When you see things you don't know what they are, don't uninstall them.
Right. Yeah, that's what I do.
Just go for the one thing you choose,
and it says, "Well, if you're not sure, I just leave it alone."
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. I've been burnt on that too many times.
Yeah. We all have. So. Definitely just uninstall the one thing you're going in there to uninstall. All right, what was your other question?
The second question, I've got a wireless Kingston keyboard with wireless mouse, and on it I had a button that allowed me to get my email as well as a separate button to go to the webmail. The webmail worked, or go to the web, but the mail does not work.
What changed?
I don't know.
Did you change your email program?
No.
Did you change the batteries recently?
Batteries were changed. Yes, I had to change the battery. Yeah, because in the mouse has the batteries.
Right, the mouse has batteries. The keyboard has batteries. So.
Well, I haven't changed any batteries in the keyboard.
Well, I would look into that. As you can't have a wireless device that isn't powered by something.
Okay, I see the spot there. Okay,
there
but would one section of it work and the other not?
Well, you know, when power is beginning to go, who knows what goes first?
Yeah, true too.
So I would start there.
And also, there should be a program somewhere, maybe in your control panels for the Kensington keyboard, that lets you control what those buttons do, so you can change what each button does. You can check that setting and make sure that your mail button is still set to launch your mail program.
Oh, okay. I'll take a look. Because I took the Kensington disk that I had, and I tried reinstalling it, and that didn't do anything.
You may want to go to the Kensington website and see if there's an updated driver for it or an updated control software.
Right, but first change the battery.
Okay, that's what I'll do right now.
And then definitely take a look at that software and make sure that the email button is set up correctly, checked, or whatever it has to be done to make sure it works.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
Good luck. That's the interesting thing to me about wireless external devices is you then have to have batteries for them. For me, I prefer the trade-off of the wires to having to replace batteries all the time, even if they're rechargeable batteries.
Apple just released along with their Magic Trackpad, which is wireless, they released a battery charger that has they called it the low vampire mode.
Right.
With most electric devices, you got that little brick plugged into the wall, and even when you're not using the device, it's drawing power, and they've been called vampire plugs. And so Apple's touting that their new battery recharger, when it's done charging the battery, it drops into such a low power mode that there's no vampire draw.
Nice. Our next caller, Tony from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tony. What's your question?
Hi. I have an iMac, and I wondered if you could tell me how to create a bookmark folder.
Which browser are you using?
Safari.
Apple Safari, yep. In the bookmarks menu, there is a command that says show all bookmarks.
Uh-huh.
And that shows you a list of all of your bookmarks. And then you can make new folders in that list to put bookmarks in. There's a little plus button at the bottom of the column that lets you make a new folder for new bookmarks.
Let's see, I've got that up now, and it... shows me a bookmark bar.
Right. On the left, you can see your bookmark bar, your bookmark menu.
Right, right.
And if you hit the plus button at the bottom of that, you can make a bookmark folder. Or if you want to make a bookmark folder in your bookmark menu, then you'd highlight the bookmark menu on the left and hit the plus button on the right to add a folder.
The plus button is way down at the bottom of the screen.
Oh, I see it.
There you go.
Yeah, I see it. Okay, thanks a lot. And I have another comment, if you
will. Sure.
I was on a site, and it talked about cookies and beacons and flash cookies and everything, and I was just wondering for a Mac if there was a way to check and see if cookies were allowed and how to get rid of the cookies and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's in your preferences somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. Under security, I think you can see. Yeah, you can show your cookies. In the Safari menu, there's a reset Safari, and you can clear your cookies in there as well.
All right, we got to go. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, why not? Give us a call. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 18 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno, inviting you to a musical party this and every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. Our guests may include Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, or who knows, maybe even Count Basie or Joe Williams, Bobby Darin. Lady Ella herself could stop by. It's a musical celebration every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. That's Sundays at 12 noon right here on Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy. Agape Physical Therapy offers aquatic therapy at their Brockport location, the Gates Chalet Hidden Valley Pool, and the Webster Aquatic Center. Using the Burdenco method of using water as physical therapy, Agape provides shallow and deep water exercise areas for partial and non-weight-bearing activities. Agape Physical Therapy's experienced staff offers constant care in treating the young and the young at heart, non-athletes and athletes. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
What do you love about the radio?
I just like the variety, because it can put you in different moods and you don't know what to expect. I think my favorite part is you don't know what to expect. So I always get excited when a song is over, because I'm excited for what the next song is going to be.
New artist Caitlin Crosby loves radio.
Still have my heart. You still have my heart.
Discover Caitlin Crosby and other new artists where it's good to be heard. Radio. Always something new and fresh, always free. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm just listening to music now. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 21 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We were also talking about, just now off the air, about how you could listen to us on your iPhone or on your Android device or whatever. And there are a couple of programs that do that. iHeartRadio is one. Listen is another. The Listen is directly from Google.
I think iHeartRadio is a clear channel only thing, isn't it?
Oh, is it? It might be.
I think so. Because before I even knew any better, I sent them an email and said, hey, how do we become a part of that? And I didn't hear anything back, realizing
there you go.
I think they're clear
channel. Which explains why I just looked at it and you can't add stations and it only is showing the clear channel.
Right, right.
There you go. Well, I don't need...
But in most cases, you can go to the web browser in your phone and use the web stream. Just a straight MP3 stream plays in the web browser.
Okay.
Right.
So does your phone have to have a media player on it?
It doesn't. Well, your phone has to be able to play media.
Right.
That's the first thing. But The program I use is called Z-Alive, X-I-I-A Live, and you'll notice what my first station is right on there. Jazz 90.1, Rochester's Jazz Station. And you can create, you can add a URL, and essentially I added the URL from Listen Live.
Is that a Droid-only thing?
I don't believe so. It's Z-Alive, X-I-I-A Live. And I listen to, and this is what I use to listen to Jazz 90.1 over my phone.
Nice.
Yep.
And
as everyone's pulling their phones out now, trying to go down. Yeah, that's what I'm.
Well, now this is interesting. It used to be called Droid Live, so it may be only a Droid only. Oh. Yeah, we're all trying to find it. I'm looking right now. I'm trying to see if it's only that.
It's powered by Shoutcast. Which is a generic streaming service.
Yeah, so anything that'll do Shoutcast, because you guys are off of that stuff, so that's pretty cool. The program is pretty neat, and I like it a lot. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Victor from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
My home was built in the 1940s, and it has plaster walls with chicken wire in it, it looks like. And of course, I lose my Time Warner wireless internet connection. I called the tech support and spoke with them, and they say they only have one type of wireless adapter. That's it. And they suggested me getting a, you can buy an adapter with an antenna, which I did. Now, the question is, I haven't hooked it up because when you just replace the wireless adapter, it says you've got to use installation CD. What I'm concerned about is if I do that and I install it, and let's just say it doesn't give me any more. The connection isn't any better than it was with the Time Warner. How can I go back to the Time Warner connection? Do I have to change something, or do they have to come out? Or
you shouldn't have to. The idea is that whatever these things are on the outside, the way you connect them to your computer is just to your regular. The way you connect them is it looks like an Ethernet connection, whether it's wireless or wired. So the theory is you don't need anything in your machine at all. The setup CD may, in fact, be something that it sends to the router itself as opposed to something for you. It shouldn't be something for you.
Is this something that's plugging into your computer or plugging into your wireless router?
It's plugging into the wireless, the USB. I got a cable coming out of the USB port in the back, and there's a wireless adapter, small little thing about 3 inches long.
In the back of what?
Oh, you're talking about the what? Okay, yeah, let's start with that. There's a USB port in the back of what?
Back of the computer, and I've got a cable that I plug into that, and on the other end, Time Warner plugged in a small little adapter.
Right.
Oh, that's a terrible kludge.
Well, now, is this a laptop or a desktop?
Desktop.
Yeah, and that's why. I actually have one of those for my wife. And what I bought was the Netgear router, wireless router N. And my house was built in the 1880s. And believe me when I tell you there's chicken wire in every conceivable wall and ceiling and floor. And so I could not get a signal downstairs until I used the wireless N router, which seems to be both more powerful and on a different frequency. And so it doesn't seem to be bothered as much. Certainly it's not as good a signal as I suspect it should be, but it gets a signal through. And on the router end, I just had to plug that into my ISP's router. I have Frontier, but it works the same both ways. And then at the other end in my wife's desktop, I added exactly what you've got. There's a USB cable that comes out, and the little dongle is connected to that. It could be plugged directly into the computer, but I put it on that cable so I could raise it up above her monitor and put it more in the air, which gives her a slightly stronger signal. But that needed a disk in order to install the correct driver.
Right.
Then if you decide you don't want that and want to take it out again, then all you have to do is remove that driver afterwards.
Oh, just delete it then.
Right.
A lot of times what's easier is to put an antenna booster on your wireless router, and then you have nothing needed in your computer.
Well,
you're just boosting this.
I asked them about that, and they're fixed. They don't have any
They don't, but many other companies do. There's a company called QuickerTech that that sells antenna boosters for virtually everything.
Oh, okay. Can you quick Q-U-I-C-K?
E-R-T-E-K, yep. They're mostly for Macintosh, but that works with any computer.
Okay. All right. Well,
right.
I'm first going to try my
right. Try what
my
you got.
Thing, and then if that doesn't work, I'll go to QuickerTech.
Right, there you go. One thing that I suggest is if they're matched, they should work better. So what I did was I bought both a Netgear router and the Netgear wireless end, figuring what the hell, that you know, the cost isn't any different, and might as well use the same company for both. But yeah, go with what Steve was talking about for the antenna booster as well. Because before I bought the wireless N router, I had a different router, a regular Logitech. I don't remember which
Linksys
company.
Linksys. The L.
The Linksys router, and I had an antenna booster on it, and that helped. But it wasn't as good as the wireless N. So wireless N is a different frequency, which got through the chicken wire better.
And it has a longer range as part of the N specification,
right.
Yeah.
Is there any one that is more powerful than the other?
N is the most powerful.
I mean, name. I mean, there's Linksys, and I know there's other ones, but is there one that...
No, they all pretty much meet the specification. It's...
And they all pretty much have boosters you can buy for most of their routers as well.
Right.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a plan.
That is a plan.
Thank you very much.
There you go. You may or may not love it when a plan comes together, but that definitely is a plan. We're finding more and more of that as people have more devices that they want to use. Like, for example, when I'm at home, I tend to turn on the wireless for my Android phone.
Yep.
Right? And my daughter has an iPod Touch, which, of course, is nothing but wireless. And so we're finding more and more people needing wireless signals in their homes. You'll be able to buy Android tablets with just wireless and all kinds of stuff like that. And, of course, a lot of e-book readers use only wireless. And so you've got a greater need for wireless. And in older homes like Victor's and mine, with chicken wire in the walls, it becomes a distinct problem. In fact, we have one curved wall, which clearly has all kinds of stuff in that wall.
Yep.
And we, up until the N router, we couldn't get any wireless in the library based on where the router was. Right?
Sometimes it's easier to string a wire into that room and then put your wireless router for everything else.
Exactly. So what I did was I was going to run a wire into there and then put another wireless router there. But as it turns out, the N goes through the chicken wire fine for us.
We had a customer office building where they had a terrible problem with their monitor images shaking and their wireless signals never would maintain connection. And we finally figured out that the building's main power trunk went under the floor of this office. And so we were able to move the desk to a different corner of the office and everything worked right. And then we had another customer where they wanted their laptops on the patio, and through the sliding glass doors you could see the wireless router, but you couldn't get a connection to the patio.
Leaded glass.
There you go.
Been there. Friend of mine just moved into an apartment, and she said, part of the deal is wireless, but I can't get it.
Yep.
And so I went over with my Droid, right, because I've got an app that tells me where the signal is and what the signal is. One end of the apartment is 100% strength. It's great. The closer you get to the den, which is where she wanted to put her laptop, the signal gets less and less and less. And by the time you get it all the way across the den to where she had it set up, there's no signal.
No signal at all, yeah.
So now she works mostly in the kitchen at the table and gets a great signal. But you don't know that unless you have an application that will show you signal strength as you walk around. And in fact, in the kitchen, there's five or six different wireless routers that she could connect to. And of course, I've explained to her carefully how she should only connect to the one that she's been given access to, and make sure that it's secured and only go in with HTTPS when she's doing any banking or any of that stuff, and yada, 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 yada.
We had one customer where at random times, four or five times a day, the screen would go nuts, the computer would start crashing, and we couldn't figure it out for several days. And then we finally found out that in the next office, the kitchen was on the opposite side of the wall.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever someone used the microwave to heat their coffee, it blew away this computer on this side of the wall.
Yeah, that's a problem with one of the labs in the Galisano building. There's a microwave right outside the room, and it just kills every conceivable signal everywhere whenever somebody's making popcorn.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a terrible thing.
Wireless is convenient. Wired is better.
Wired is better. And I used to work in a bank about 200-300 years ago, and we had a server in a closet, not just a closet, in a place, and it was the only device in there, and it was plugged in, and every single night it would reboot, every single night, and we went nuts trying to figure out what was wrong with this thing. What we discovered was that 8 floors down in the basement.
Wow.
There was a device that was being tested at 2 o'clock every morning. It was on the same circuit, and they would shut the circuit off
with no warning to anyone else in the building.
Well, the theory, but the reality was they didn't know this one plug.
Yep.
One plug on the 7th floor was on the same circuit as this thing in the basement.
Which shouldn't have been.
Yeah. And they all went, no, that can't. We went to the electricians when we finally figured out what was going on. We went to the electrician. He said, no, that's not at all possible. No, it can't be. They got out the plans and went, look, it can't. We'll fix that.
Now, who
for
wanted
you.
That? When the building was being designed, must have wanted that.
Exactly. And for what reason? Who knows? I don't know. But they'd fixed it. I mean, it was a 10-minute fix.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
A 2-hour fix, whatever it was. Yeah. But, yeah, it was. And then it never failed again. That server never failed again. But for the longest time, we assumed it was a software problem. Yep. Then we assumed it was a hardware problem. And then it was only when we moved the thing to another plug, literally just another plug, that it stopped happening. And so we went and said, what's on this circuit? That's how that worked. All right. We've been talking about Android tablets a little bit today, and here's a great news item. LG Electronics. You might want to wait. LG Electronics plans to launch its first tablet device in the fourth quarter, running Google's Android mobile software, LG said on Thursday. The company's already said it would debut the product this year, but had not until now said when. The fourth quarter doesn't narrow the time frame by much, but it does say the device won't be ready in the next few months. The company said its tablet will be part of its Optima series of smartphones and tablet devices. LG, one of South Korea's largest electronics makers, has already unveiled 3 Optima smartphones, including the Optima Z, which uses the Android version 2.1 and a 1 gigahertz Qualcomm Snapdragon chipset. The Optima Z hit the South Korean market on Thursday, the company said, and is already garnering great praise for its speed and abilities. The number of electronics companies that have shown off or announced tablet devices they intend to launch this year to compete with the Apple iPad. A few of the tablet devices shown off at Computex Taipei Electronics Show in June used Microsoft's Windows 7 operating system, but the vast majority of them had Android installed. So give us a call. Does the combination of LG and Android make you happy? Our number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. So the question is now, do I go out and buy this known, not tremendously good GenTouch 78, or do I wait for the LG product to come out? Did they give it a name, or did they just the LG Optimus tablet, whatever they're going to call it? Or do I get both?
Well, if you get Optimus, then someone else has to get...
Right. I don't know if it would be the Optimus Prime. It would just be the Optimus series.
Yep.
If there's an Optimus Prime, is there an Optimus Secundus?
And Tertius and...
Exactly.
Well, they say he's the last of the primes, so I'm guessing, yes, there are.
Yeah, you would think so. All right.
This week in Transformers.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting problem. Every Apple iPad owner is thrilled and delighted with their device, partially because they have to be, because they spend so much on it. But... It's not as much fun when Steve is used to me baiting him and he doesn't rise to the occasion anymore. And it is an excellent device. But for those of us who are looking for the Android side of things, having to wait and wait and wait for something to come out, and then having the first thing come out be this GenTouch, it's an interesting problem. it's an interesting problem. And Drach over on the Soundbites IRC chat reminds us that Teal'c was the first prime of Apophis.
Yep.
And isn't that redundant? The first prime?
Apparently.
I mean, is there a second prime, and how does that work?
He's the backup.
It's the backup prime. Just in case something happens to the first prime, we pull the other guy out of the closet.
It was Braytac. He was the teacher of Teal'c.
Right.
Master Braytac to you.
All right, we're going to take one of our questions that come to me. That come to us on our website at soundbites.org. sbites@cob.rit.edu is our email address. And the question comes from William from Rochester, who writes, I was reviewing your podcast from a couple of weeks ago, and you guys were saying not to back up the entire C drive, just data. I've been using Windows Ultimate's disk image, like Norton Ghost, to mirror my entire C drive to an external eSATA drive, and I thought it was good. I replaced the entire drive image on one occasion, but it was not to a new disk, just to the same disk of an earlier date. I must say Windows 7 made it easy. Just boot from the repair CD I made and pick the disk image I want. My question is this. If I need to replace the mirror to a new disk, say a larger one, or an SSD when the price is right for me, will it work? My current disk is a 1 terabyte Western Digital Caviar Black. It's less than 1 year old. Keep up the good work. Thanks. You can. It depends. And I have not played enough with the Windows 7 Ultimate's disk image program to know whether or not it's easy to move an image back to a different size drive.
And the big problem with Windows backup programs is that they typically can't back up open files like your operating system.
Right.
So even though the backup program runs, it's not a bootable, you can't restore it to an empty partition.
Well, this thing works like Ghost, so that
it should do that. If you're booting a separate disk to run this, then it can. Yeah.
Right. But the problem with that is if you're having to replace everything on your drive, and the reason you're doing that is because there's something messed up in your operating system, chances are good that you backed up that something to the image the last time you did it, and that's why we suggest not backing up the whole drive, just backing up your data and then reinstalling everything clean. Going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve, Rob, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites. I'm member-supported Jazz 90.1. Bless you.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Every Sunday evening, join me, Derek Lucas, for The Spectrum, where we find the mysterious side of jazz. Music to move your mind, body, soul, spirit, as well as help you do your homework. Every Sunday evening, 10 o'clock, here on Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno inviting you to join me every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 for my new show, Sinatra and Company.
I have got you under my skin.
I'll feature the music of Frank Sinatra as well as those with whom Frank worked and played. Artists like Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Count Basie, Rosemary Clooney, and many more. So join in the fun with Sinatra and Company every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 right here on Jazz 90.1.
I would sacrifice anything.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. You can help today. Support your local Red Cross.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 41 minutes after the hour, you're apparently still listening to Soundbites. Since you haven't learned your lesson, I'm going to read you another news item. Microsoft will ship a beta of Internet Explorer 9, IE9, in September, a company executive said today. If the timeline is accurate, which with Microsoft is always a crapshoot, the IE9 beta release will come a month later than was earlier speculated, which had settled on August, a pick based largely in part on PowerPoint slides purportedly from a Microsoft presentation that focused on Windows 8, the next iteration of the company's operating system. As you well know, the minute Microsoft comes out with an operating system, they start touting the next one. So we're starting to hear about Windows 8. Earlier this week, Kevin Turner, Microsoft's chief operating officer, said that IE9 would reach beta this fall. And you're right, I'm not going to do the voice today. We're really excited about IE9, which will be beta and coming out in September, said Turner, holding up his hands in two-peace signs during the company's annual day-long presentation to Wall Street analysts. Turner also boasted of Internet Explorer's recent turnaround, claiming that it gained usage share in the last 2 months. According to web analytics company Net Applications, IE did increase its global share by a record 0.6% during June. However, Net Applications also had IE losing, not gaining, ground worldwide in May. As of June, IE accounted for an estimated 60.3% of all browsers used during the month. Contrast that to a couple of years ago when they were 90% of all browsers. Since March, when the company debuted a rough around the edges IE9 developer preview, the company has updated the bare bones browser twice, most recently in late June. After Turner's announcement of September beta, Microsoft declined to answer additional questions, including when during the month users could expect the more stable preview or whether the beta would be opening to anyone, as the developer previews have been. We do not have any additional specifications to share at this time about when Internet Explorer 9 beta will be ready, a company spokesmanikin said. Microsoft has also refused to name a release schedule for the final build of IE9. Most pundits now believe Microsoft won't wrap up the browser till 2011. IE9 will run on Windows Vista and Windows 7, but not on Windows XP, the nearly 9-year-old operating system that still accounts for 68% of all Windows still in use. Are you waiting for IE9? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Call us and tell us if you're waiting for IE9, and for God's sake, why?
Sometimes it's just, that's the computer I've got, and it seems to be working okay. I don't, you know, don't know there's any updates. It just, I run my computer, and that's it.
Right. And we see that actually a lot. We see people who have started with IE because it was on their computer,
yep,
and then just never changed. And those of us who, you know, are more in the know about this stuff always say, what are you thinking? It's not, you know, it's not as secure, and it's not as this, and it's not as that. But you know what? It works for them. They know what they're doing. They've got it. They're happy. Get over it. Use it. Done.
Yep. It's when they come to you and say, the program I just bought doesn't work on my 10-year-old computer. And they say, and you know, we tell them, yes, you need to update.
Then they get angry at you because it's somehow your fault.
And the 20 other programs they do use on their 10-year-old computer don't exist anymore.
Right.
Or they have to convert it to new versions.
Right. We get these people who come and say, you know, I've got this program that I bought in 1997, and I want to put it on Windows 7. Yeah, you know what? It's actually not going to work. Well, can I get an update? First, don't ask me, and secondly, I doubt it since that company went out of business 4 years ago.
Or it's in the dollar bin at the store.
You're right.
You can get some really great Windows 3 games in that dollar bin.
Yeah, you really can. And that's why so many of us have moved over to the Linux side, where all the multiple free software is. And even on Windows, you can get and look, and there's Chris saying exactly the same thing. That's kind of scary, Chris. One of us is in trouble. But yeah, that's one of the things that's nice about the free software movement,
yep,
the open source software movement. If a program is useful to people, even if the original manufacturer stops making it, someone else is liable to pick it up and continue supporting it.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. That's really nice.
I had a conversation this week with a customer who their hard drive died and they're reinstalling. Well, they need to reinstall their stuff, and they don't have any of the disks anymore. Okay, so now you have to buy the operating system again, and you have to, what applications do you use? Well, I use Word. Okay, that's $250 for Word.
Right.
Or you can use OpenOffice for free. And it's it becomes a learning curve that they don't know about anything else, and you know, Word is the word they're familiar with.
Right.
And when you tell them it's going to cost that much, and most of the time, then they go make a more concerted effort to find their disks.
Well, right. And then most of the time, you say to them, "Well, what do you use Word for?" Well, I use it to do, I write letters to my aunt or something. Well, okay, then if you want to spend $400 to write a letter to your aunt, you can do that. Or, of course, you can just get OpenOffice for free.
Or there's free text editors that come with Mac and Windows and Unix to begin with. If you don't need any fancy formatting, you just want to lay down text, that works
right.
just fine.
Right. There's also a great program called ABI Word.
Mm-hmm.
ABI Word. And as far as I know, it's available for Windows and Linux. I think it's also available for the Mac. And it's free.
Yep.
And it's one of those programs that does 90% of what Word does. It is not a full Office suite. It is just a Word processor. But it loads up ridiculously fast because it's very small and light. But it does 90% of what anybody would want a word processor to do. And for most people, that's more than enough. They're not going to use all of its features. And it's free. The worst you can do is not like it, and then you just stop using it. And it saves and loads Word formatted documents, so you can set its default format to be Word, and nobody ever has to know you're not on Word.
There seems to be sometimes the misperception that free is worthless.
Yep.
And it isn't. There's a lot of free software that's really, really good. People who just, they have the passion for writing software and want to make free software.
Right. There's also a product called KOffice, as a matter of fact. And Drock was talking about that on the IRC chat. It's available for Windows and the Linux and Mac OS X, also for Haiku OS, as a matter of fact. It's good. I don't like it as much as I like OpenOffice. It's on its way. It's getting better. It's not the one I would first point people toward. I mean, if you're going to point them at something, point them at OpenOffice. It does word processing and spreadsheet and a presentation thing like PowerPoint. It also does a database thing like Microsoft Access. So it does all of that, and it's absolutely free of charge. But if all you need is a word processor, ABI Word is smaller and lighter, loads up faster, takes less space in your drive, yada, 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 yada. Very nice set of products, and they're free, and billions of people use them. Originally, OpenOffice was a product called StarOffice, and you could buy it and get support. I think it's $80 a year or some silly thing like that. But you can use it for free, and it's a pretty nice set of products. So what we find is a lot of people don't actually know that free alternatives are available.
And a lot of times they don't even know what they're using. That we get that a lot, even on this show. What word processor are you using? I don't know. That's the one that came with the computer. Well, you probably bought it, but so then right. You sort of have to, is it a blue W? Is it a, it's probably Word, since that's the most common one, but.
Right. And if you got it with your system, you paid for it because, or it's illegal. And those are your two choices. Whereas you can't possibly get an illegal copy of OpenOffice. It's just not possible because it's a free product. Anyone can download it. Anyone can use it. Anyone can give it away to somebody else.
And that's actually one of the dangers of bundled software, especially in the PC world, that most of the time it's a demo. So there's classic examples of you get a 90-day demo of Microsoft Office with your brand-new PC, and that's because Microsoft paid Dell $50 or whatever it is to include that on the computer. And then once you get hooked, you're supposed to pay the $400 to buy Microsoft Office. But people don't realize it's a demo, and they don't see the word demo every time they launch the program. And then suddenly their time is up, and it won't launch anymore, and they're mad.
And they've got 3 months of documents written in the product.
Right.
That's the time you download OpenOffice, which will open all of those documents, and it's free.
Yep.
Uninstall Office and install OpenOffice. I'm a huge fan of OpenOffice. It runs a little bit differently, right? So you, it's like I always say, like when you go from a PC to a Mac or a Mac to Linux or whatever, it's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive. You just don't know where the radio is. It's the same thing when you go to OpenOffice from Microsoft Office. It does all the same stuff. You just have to figure out where. You know, the muscle memory you've learned in using Office is a little different. But
and most of the time, the key commands in the alternative suites are the same
yeah.
because they know you're used to key commands.
Right, right, right. So Control B is bold, Control I is italics, all of that stuff. Control S for save, all of those things are the same.
Yep.
And so those don't change, but what changes is some of the more esoteric stuff from the menu. And I'll guarantee you that most people, unless they use it in their business, don't even know the difference. Wouldn't find a difference.
Yep.
You know, I have a friend who has created his own invoicing system, and the tabs were wrong when he opened it in OpenOffice. But that was, you know, a half a minute to fix the template.
Yeah.
Because it happened to be using a different font. I said, all you have to do, because he moved it over to Linux, right? And he opened it up, and the tabs were different. I said, well, you didn't install this font.
Yeah.
So once you install this font.
Microsoft Tahoma, probably.
Right. Actually, it was Geneva.
Geneva, oh.
He was using Geneva.
That's an Apple font.
Okay, I don't care. But it's also available under every other operating system, and I use it myself. It's a beautiful font.
Yeah.
And it's a serifed font. I like that. And so he was using it as well, and I said, well, you didn't install it. He said, well, it's not on my system. I said, no, you can install it. You just hadn't. That's one of the differences in Linux. Sometimes you have to install things that aren't that it doesn't come with by default.
Right.
And that doesn't mean it's difficult or impossible or even hard. It just is something you have to do. So we find that every once in a while.
And that's a big issue we see, too. And a lot of people blame on the Macintosh. You know, someone on a Windows gives them a document that doesn't look right on the Mac. It doesn't really have anything to do with being a Mac. It's you don't have the fonts they used. If they gave it to a Windows user without that fancy font they picked, it wouldn't work right either.
Right. Actually, what I've discovered is my wife, whenever she's doing posters and things like that, she does them on my machine because I got way more fonts.
Yeah.
She has. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray. We're not going to take a break? We're going to end the show? Are we done already? This is
We're going to take a break of about 7 days.
We're going to take a nice, long break for ourselves. We're not going to wait for anybody or anything. We're just going to take a break. We will. Thank you for wasting 2 solid hours of your life talking to us. We'll be back next week, of course, same time, right here. I'm Nick Francesco with Steve Ray and Rob Linton, who graciously stood in for the mysteriously absent, what's his name again? Oh, yeah, Dave Enright. And you've been listening to us on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.